coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome back to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. We got a great show for you today, and I know that you're going to love it. Remember last week, I told you we were going to be talking about Christmas movies, because it's time we got into the Christmas spirit. And just because we carry guns around doesn't mean we're morbid or Grinches or anything like that. We're just like anybody else, right? We love our families, care about them, want to protect them. We just carry a gun to do it. But one of my favorite Christmas movies, well, I won't tell you what it is. Let me play the clip, and I bet you can probably guess. If you're half a man, you know what this movie is. Hold on.
I thought I told all of you I want radio silence until further...
Sorry, Hans. I didn't get that message.
Maybe you should have put it on the bulletin board.
Waxed Tony and Marco and his friend here, I figured you and Carl and Franco might be a little lonely, so I wanted to give you a call.
How does he know so much about this?
This is very kind of you. I assume you are our mysterious party crasher. You are most troublesome for a security guard.
Sorry, Hans, wrong guess.
Would you like to go for double jeopardy where the scores can really change?
Who are you, then?
Just the fly in the ointment, Hans. The monkey in the wrench. The pain in the ass.
Okay, folks, if you guessed Die Hard with Bruce Willis, you were correct. One of my favorite Christmas movies of all time. It's in my top five. Now, some of you are saying, now, that's not a Christmas movie. That's not true. That's not true at all. Die Hard came out in 1988. It was Bruce Willis's first action-adventure movie. Before that, he was doing sitcoms. I think he did, Moonlighting with Sybil Shepherd before that. And that was okay, but nobody was shooting guns or anything like that. There were no terrorists, no bad guys. Yeah, it was a romance. But in 1988, this action film came out, and it launched Bruce Willis' action-adventure career. This is what defined action adventures from that point on. Now, there's a lot of things I didn't know about this. I did a little bit of research on it. And did you know that Die Hard, it was based on Roderick Thorpe's 1979 novel, Nothing Lasts Forever? That was the sequel to the 1966 The Detective, adapted in a 1968 film of the same name starring Frank Sinatra. Fox was contractually obligated to offer Sinatra the lead role in Die Hard, but he turned it down. He was probably kind of old for it by then. After that, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he turned it down as well. That was right after he did his 1985 film Commando. And it says here in Wikipedia that Fox reluctantly gave the role to Bruce Willis. Now, I can't imagine anyone else playing John McClane. I mean, after, five movies total. I mean, John McClane, he defines that role. He is John McClane. If I met him today, I'd say, John, how are you? You know, I'm so glad we got to meet. But that film, Die Hard, ranked 29 on Empire's 2008 list of the 500 greatest movies of all times. And then, of course, he went on to do sequels, four sequels after that, and those are good in their own right. I had Die Hard 2, which was in the airport. I love that one, too. Die Hard with a Vengeance, with Samuel L. Jackson. That was okay. Live Free or Die Hard. And, finally, A Good Day to Die Hard. I love them all. There are certain movies that I watch about every 3 months, and all five of those are on my quarterly list. If I don't watch those, I'm just not a man. So, hey, that's all about Die Hard. Now, there are some things that just bug the heck out of me when it comes to the movie Die Hard or any action adventure. I've kind of spoiled myself for action adventures because I'm a firearms trainer and I know the right way to do things and the wrong way to do things. Some of the things that bothers me, Bruce Willis has a terrible pistol grip in Die Hard. He's got the forefinger of his offhand right up there on the trigger guard way out front. That does nothing to your grip. You want more surface area on your hand. You're gripping with the gun hand, and then you're gripping the gun hand with the offhand, and you're squeezing. That's where you get your stability. So, it drives my wife crazy when we're watching action-adventure movies, and I just fly off the handle, and what is going on? Look at that guy's grip. Don't they know anything? And I just go off on this tirade on how the proper grip should be done. And, talk about safety violations. John McClane, his finger is always on the trigger. The rule is finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot. It's like the guy's always ready to shoot. His finger is always on the trigger, and it drives me nuts. The only thing that drives me crazier is probably Kiefer Sutherland in 24. He's got that cup and saucer grip that just, it makes me angry. But relax. It's a Christmas movie, not a big deal, okay? Now, when I was watching this movie just this morning, I'm watching the movie, and in the opening scenes, I'm noticing things that have changed since 1988. And first off, one of the first scenes, he's on the airplane, he's getting ready to disembark, and he's talking to the guy about, air travel, how tough it is, how to handle it. And the guy sees the pistol in his shoulder rig. John McClane says, "Don't worry about it. I've been doing this for 11. I'm a cop. I've been doing this for 11 years. You know what? They couldn't do that today because cops are no longer allowed to carry their guns on the plane unless they've jumped through some serious hoops. They have to take a class from the federal government, and then airlines have their own rules after that. And then not even when you do that, you have to show just cause on why you need to carry that gun on that airplane. For example, you have to be in the line of duty, and your boss has to say he needs that gun on the plane while he's flying in order to do his job. So for an example would be he's transporting a prisoner, a violent prisoner, and he needs the gun with him. Otherwise, you just can't do it. I think that's crazy. Well, the second thing, he was able to smoke inside the airport terminal. Now, where can you smoke anywhere these days when you're under a roof? Boy, hardly anywhere that I know of. And then the biggest thing, the most obvious thing, in Die Hard, Bruce Willis had hair. So, and that was, 30 years ago? But, probably a lot of us can say that. 30 years ago, I had hair. 30 years ago, there was 25% less of me. It's just, it goes with the territory. You get old, certain things happen. But I love the movie, and we'll be talking more about that a little bit later. Let's talk a little bit about what we have on the show today. We are going to have Craig Gray. We've had him on before. He is the Krav Maga master. He is the highest ranking instructor in Krav Maga outside of Israel. Again, for those of you who don't recall, Krav Maga, it's the official martial art of the Israeli Defense Force, the IDF. They needed something that they could get up and running with quickly. Krav Maga, it's possible for you to train for a year and be able to actually protect yourself. It's less art and more martial. You're not going to be learning katas or anything like that. You're going to be learning, how do I put this guy down so I can get away? Or how do I fight my way to my gun? But today, what we're going to be talking about with Craig is de-escalation. how do you talk your way out of a fight? Because the best fight is the one that you never have to go through. And us gun guys, we tend to be really good with our gun because that's what we practice. But if you don't have to use it, if you can talk the guy down, if you can talk your way out of the room, that's a better thing that can save you five figures in legal cost, the emotional trauma of having to shoot somebody. And Craig Gray has a new project that he's called Peace Walker. And you can go to peacewalker.net to learn all about that over our break here. And what Craig is going to do is he's going to tell us, okay, here's what the Peace Walker project is, here's why you need to learn it, and here is how it can help protect you, your family, and how you can de-escalate, move away from deadly force. Because 80% of all altercations do not rise to the level of deadly force, especially if you know what to say, how to say it, and you can get out of the situation. All right, that about wraps up segment one. When we come back, we'll be speaking with Craig Gray from Ronin Empowerment Group, and he is going to be speaking with us all about how to de-escalate in a verbal altercation. Okay, while we're gone, go ahead, check out peacewalker.net and go to amazon.com and check out Civilian Combat by Skip Coriel. You need to buy that book. It's Christmas. Buy it for yourself. Okay, folks, this is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
My name is Siege Coriel. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. We have a return customer with us today, Craig Gray. Craig, you were on speaking with us about Krav Maga before, so welcome back to the Home Defense Show.
Thanks for having me, Skip. I really appreciate it.
All right, now, Craig, while we were talking before offline, I learned about a very interesting project that you have. It's called the Peace Walker Project. But before we get into that, just for people who haven't heard you yet, go ahead and tell us just a little bit about your credentials. Who is Craig Gray?
Well, Skip, I work with organizations and individuals in conflict management. So I am contracted by government agencies, a fair amount, ranging from law enforcement to military, to correctional officers and that type of thing. I work with a lot of folks in corporate America, hospitals and schools, and everyday folks too, to help them manage conflict more effectively, be better leaders. And as you know from the Krav Maga background, we start off with the ethics of what are you protecting, get into how do you keep your emotional composure, your baseline we call it, how do you verbally de-escalate circumstances more effectively, if possible, or negotiate. And then if it all kind of goes to hell in a handbasket, so to speak, how do you physically protect yourself and others up to, and just before, I should say, the use of firearms. Been doing this a long time, starting in the martial arts, protective services. I've done a lot of security type work, ranging from executive protection to serving papers and doing all that kind of crazy stuff. And gigs in corporate America too. I'm an entrepreneur and spent a lot of years in the corporate world mitigating conflict and doing that kind of thing too, as well as teaching for 30 some odd years.
So out of all that stuff, you do a broad range of things, all similar, all related, you know, that's kind of what I do too. But out of all of that, what do you like to do the most?
In context of what I do, the common denominator to all that stuff in all of our lives, whether you're a police officer, a teacher, a manager, a parent, if you're an average Joe or average Jane, the one element that is kind of the common thread throughout all that stuff is we all have to deal with people. We all have to deal with other human beings. And it kind of gets, sometimes goes haywire if tempers fly or we don't see eye to eye or, God forbid, there's some type of violence. So that's kind of the common denominator between all of those seemingly unrelated fields. And what I like to do most is it's the human element. I love working with people and learning how to, A, obviously be safe and empowered, but also really how to live a better life and how to do that with your relationships, because that's our, probably, aside from our health and time, that is our number one resource that any one of us has, whether you're a police officer in the military, a business owner, or a parent. You know, it's this idea of how do you create more meaningful relationships, and if those relationships are not, what do you do with them?
Yeah. You know, I've found that I can get along fine with really anyone as long as they just do what I want them to, you know.
Right. Right. Exactly.
But some people are just difficult. You know, it's like you want them to do a certain way, you want them to change lanes so that you can get around them, and it's like, they have their own life, they have their own minds, and, you know, and it sounds like that's the kind of thing that, at least partially, that you deal with. You know, how do you deal with what you perceive to be as difficult people, even though they might be perceiving you as a difficult person?
That's exactly it. I mean, and that goes back down to, and it sounds hokey, I know, and it sounds overly philosophical, and it's really not. It's actually very practical. But it's back to your ethics. Are you respecting, this is really, again, it sounds really philosophical, but are you respecting the life value and separating someone's beliefs and behaviors from that life value when you're dealing with them? And then can you appropriately, and in some cases obviously professionally, deal with the behavior while you show respect to the human life, which kind of sounds, a little bit heady, and B, you know, some people at first they're like, oh yeah, of course I do, you know, I can absolutely do that. And then, you know, you mentioned some keywords of some kind of bad mamma jammas out there, take a pedophile or a terrorist, and we do these crazy kind of exercises with folks to help them see that A, they already do that, they already have the capacity to separate a life value from someone's behavior. And B, how can they clarify that more and utilize that in the real world rather than kind of combining the value of someone with their behavior? And that's kind of the beginning of it. If you don't have that clarity, it's really easy to go down the wrong path.
So basically, I mean, you're teaching everyday people to deal with whatever comes their way. And that it could range from, you know, being stopped on the street, you actually bump into someone, they turn around and call you a dirty, rotten SOB, and you're teaching them how to deal with that situation, how to de-escalate, all the way on up to, well, what happens if you can't reason with this guy and he starts pounding on you or pulls a knife on you? You go the whole gamut, the whole force continuum.
Absolutely. It is necessary to understand that you really can't compartmentalize these things, even though that's how they're taught currently, right?
Mm-hmm.
Folks will, okay, so who do folks usually go to ethics for, either some professor or a lawyer? Because we often get ethics confused with legalities and this type of thing. That's not the kind of ethics we're talking about. We're talking about the human ethic of being a protector, and what are you protecting? And then, you know, you go to this guy over here to talk about the Zen master over here to kind of keep your emotions in control, and that, you know, you're all in tune with the universe and calm and cool and collected. And then you go to this guy over here, you know, to talk about, well, how do I communicate more effectively? So, you know, you go to some professor from Berkeley or something telling you how to, you know, get in touch with your feelings and communicate your boundaries to another individual. And then, you know, you go to the tap out wearing tattoo wrap around sunglass guy to get your defensive tactics. There is a huge disconnect with that methodology, because we are, as you know, Skip, you know, we are all mind, body, spirit. Mm-hmm. When we interact with other human beings in life, we interact on all these levels, on a ethical, psychological, emotional, verbal, physical level, and it is all intermingled. So the training also has to be intermingled in this manner in a very special way in order to get the most effectiveness out of your training.
This isn't like a touchy-feely, new age kind of a approach, because I don't think I would do very well with that.
Me either. Me either. No, it's a very boots on the ground, up in your grill, practical way of approaching conflict. Mm-hmm. And conflict starts usually, as you said earlier, it starts with no, or it starts with an imminent threat, where you're trying to do something and I somehow or another don't like that, or I request for you to do something and you resist me, or you're doing something to me overtly that, you know, just I don't want to have done to me. So it really goes down to starting in that idea of, well, how can we create a circumstance that is most good, least harm for everybody? Now, most good, least harm doesn't mean necessarily most good, no harm. Sometimes people need to be detained. Sometimes they need to be reprimanded and disciplined. Sometimes people need to be fired if you're in a, you know, corporate capacity. Sometimes people need to be arrested, you know, if you're a police mm-hmm. officer, or you need to have somebody get be contained. And sometimes, unfortunately, in the world, sometimes people need to be taken out of the picture. But you have to be really clear on the why, not necessarily the what, or I should say both and, the why and the what.
I find it amusing. Maybe I'm sick and twisted for feeling this way, but you know, when a cop you know, pulls you over, and you know, maybe the guy will get out of hand, and the cop will have to take him down and handcuff him, do all this stuff. And are you the guy that teaches them how to be polite? Well, now, sir, I'm just trying to give you superior police services here. You know, I'm going to rip your arm off and stick it in your back pocket now if you continue to resist. You know, they're always so polite, you know, while they're dismantling you and or tasing you or whatever. And are you the guy that teaches them how to do that?
Yes, actually I am. I'm the guy who teaches them how to be polite and how to take you down and, you know, do it hopefully in a gentler, kinder way, but in a very effective way.
Yes, a kinder, gentler restraint.
Yeah, seriously, it is funny, but like I say, with the physical aspects of training, meaning how to defend yourself, have good defensive tactics, it's the alpha and the omega. If you feel comfortable and confident to be able to physically defend yourself, oftentimes, if you're trained in the right way and you have the right approach, it makes you more peaceful.
Yeah.
Thus the peace walk, of course, right? And actually, Emil Lichtenfeld, the creator of Krav Maga for the IDF, the word and the term peace walker that I use in that program was from a quote that he had said, which he stated, "What you train so you can walk in peace." Mm-hmm. And he meant Krav Maga, and I agree with that, and I also agree with all the other things that we do too, just like if you're going to carry a firearm, where, you know, you were recently on one of my master classes for our peacewalker.net site, our training site, and I brought on a bunch of guys like yourself to help other people understand the dynamics of firearms usage and what does that look like? What are some of the more common problems that folks have, the challenges, the misnomers that we think of? Because carrying a firearm should make you a more peaceful person, not a more violent person.
And you know what, Craig? I'm going to interrupt you there because we're out of time, but let's pick it up right there when we come back for segment three. All right, folks, this is Skip Coriel on Home Defense. When we come back, we will be speaking with Craig Gray all about the Peace Walker Project. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
This is Felix Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want to talk to you about keeping your kids safe around guns. I've never been a big fan of trigger locks, but I have to tell you, I have found a product called ChildSafe One. It's a trigger blocker, not a trigger lock, and it works fantastic. I tried it out on my kids, and they could not get the ChildSafe One off the training gun. I gave them 5 minutes. I sat there and I watched them, and they couldn't do it. Folks, I am satisfied, more than satisfied, that my kids are safe around ChildSafe One. Here's the good thing about it. I can get that lock off the gun in under 2 seconds, but my kids can't even figure out how it works. ChildSafe One is a win-win for everyone in the family. My wife's happy because she knows the guns are secure. My kids are happy because they're safe. And I'm happy because when the wolf comes a-knocking, I've got that gun cocked, locked, and ready to rock in less than 2 seconds. So go to globalgunsafety.com and get ChildSafe One today. That's globalgunsafety.com. Check it out now and tell them the Home Defense Show sent you.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and protect your family now. Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. We're speaking with Craig Gray from the Peace Walker Project. Craig, the thing that you said right at the end of segment two, you were talking about, you know, if you're going to be carrying a gun, you have to be more polite. And that's one of the things I emphasize with my students. You know, I tell them flat out, I said, listen, if you're going to carry a gun, you need to become the most polite person on the planet. Talk about that for a minute.
Well, Skip, much like yourself, my dad was a Marine. And I grew up with a lot of strong male mentors who were the silent, strong, fair, but you didn't mess with them kind of guys.
Yeah.
Very ethical. They didn't. My dad was actually a very gentle man, even though when he was younger, he wouldn't have known that by the look of him. But, you know, he sounded kind of gruff, and he looked like he'd rip your head off. But he really was that guy in the room who you could rely on to protect.
Yeah.
But he was not boisterous. He was not into the, you know, look at me, or trying to have his words kind of overshadow his ethics and all this type of thing. He was a strong, silent type, and that's kind of my, you know, he was my main mentor in life, and still is. He's still alive and doing well. But I just had the privilege of having some really strong mentors in my life that had that ethic of, they didn't have to be boisterous and yell and scream and all that. Matter of fact, you know, they're bad mofos and they knew it. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to peacock it around. And in essence, that is what the Peace Walker Project and what I do when I teach Krav Maga is as well.
You know, Craig, it's kind of nice. The nice part about being around someone like that is you kind of know where everybody stands right away. I mean, and if you want to talk about pecking order, the pecking order is established. You know that, okay, I can do this, but I can't do that. You know, I remember Teddy Roosevelt. He said, speak softly and carry a big stick. And that's kind of like, those guys are like that. You know where they're standing, you know where they stand and what you can do and what you can't do. And, you know, they're not going to sit there and tell you about their feelings or their inner child, and they're not going to, you know, get in touch with their feminine side or anything like that. That's just, hey, this is who I am, and these are the rules if you want to be in my world. And but go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt there.
Oh, no, not at all. You're same thing I am. Basically, you don't have to flaunt it.
Yeah.
You have the luxury, because you're confident in your skills and abilities and your ethic, that you can be the kindest, most gentle, nicest person in the room. And when it comes, if you're called to task on whether it's standing up for yourself or defending yourself or whatever it may be, that you have the capacity to do that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like I think last time we spoke, I mentioned that Patrick Swayze movie, Roadhouse. Where he says, be nice until it's time to not be nice. Now, and that brings up another topic, Craig. How do you know when it's time to not be nice?
Well, there are, obviously we could talk about that for a long time. In the program, in one of the programs that we teach, kind of one of the foundational programs, there are three main foundational programs that we teach. One is conflict communications. Another is leadership, tactical leadership. How do you lead yourself, and how do you lead in a more eminent circumstance? And then, obviously, the physical tactics course of how do you maneuver, how do you protect yourself if the others are not working. But we go through a whole continuum on what do you do and how do you strategically talk and communicate from a tactical approach. Because a lot of people misunderstand a general conversation, just talking with someone, with tactical communications. Tactical communications is very, very different. It's the difference between playing chess or just moving pieces around the board arbitrarily.
Okay. What is that tactical? Well, give me an example, because, you know, hey, I'm a Marine. I'm not that smart. You know, give me an example of tactical communication. Are you doing that to me with me right now? You're toying with me, aren't you?
No, this is more of a conversation. Tactical communication really goes into how do you persuade someone? How do you, when they start to resist you verbally, how do you get them to come around? Mm-hmm. And ironically, it's the same continuum that I'm using to try to feel out, if it's appropriate, feel out where you're going with things. Are you going to escalate, and is it going to turn violent, or are we able to come to a mutual conclusion? So we've got all these different rundowns of how to do that in different circumstances. Obviously, if somebody just pulls out a knife and goes to attack you, you know, that's and then you're going to go straight to physical, right?
Right.
But most of the conflicts that people run into are not that.
Yeah.
It is a building process. It is a process of verbal and nonverbal communications and cues. And if you know what to look for as far as red flags for violence, and also know how to communicate properly in a tactical way, you can very quickly, you can start to both assess the level of the danger, but also start to persuade someone into doing what you need them to do. Mm-hmm. As long as you are more persuasive, believe it or not, the more ethical you are.
Yeah. It sounds like this is something that could be used not just out on the street for personal protection, but you might be able to use this like maybe at your job, talking with your boss or your employees or whatever.
Absolutely. I work with a lot of schools for classroom management. I work with a lot of corporate organizations doing just that, talking to clients, talking to employees, talking to peers, talking to parents. How do you create a circumstance and an environment that is safer, more respectful, and you know what to do if things get out of hand?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about getting your way. It's really kind of assessing the circumstance and trying, again, for that most good, least harm for everyone, including yourself, to overcome some of the challenges that we run into every single day. If you have kids, you will use some of these methodologies every single day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, my wife and I were talking about the interview that you and I are doing right now, about a half hour ago. And I told her about Peace Walker. She says, that's what I am. I do that every day because she, she's got a 6, 8, and 11-year-old that she homeschools every day. And it's like,
oh, absolutely. Yeah,
how do you get these little kids to buy into the plan here? But, Craig, I'm wondering, can we go ahead, can we take this to a practical level, take it to where the rubber meets the road? I'll give you an example, and you can just talk me through it. You know, how would you handle that person? What are some of the things that you might be able to say to try and de-escalate? For example, you know, you're walking down the road, and you glance over at someone, and then glance away, and for whatever reason, they approach you and say, "What are you staring at me for?" You know, you weren't staring at them, but they think that you are, and they're up in your face. What can you do, or what should you do in situations like that?
Well, there's a lot of ways you can approach that. In that circumstance, oftentimes by diffusing them, by not directly escalating it with the individual, oftentimes you can end up walking away, and everybody's somewhat happy for the most part. Mm-hmm. So sometimes understanding when to engage and how to engage and if to engage is a big thing. You know, someone walks up, some little trick that I often use, like, "Oh, I'm sorry, man, you look just like my cousin. So I didn't mean to bother you, right? Didn't mean to bother you, but you look like somebody I know. So I'm really sorry if I startled you or upset you." And, keep your distance and walk away. So I've got a bunch of these tips, tricks, and tactics like that which are just like almost little one-liners.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's not just about the tips, tricks, and tactics. I mean, there's a whole approach to it, and it really goes around, let me ask you a couple questions. And this is a question that we ask everybody at all the trainings that I do.
Okay.
So, very simple questions, but it's a universal answers 99% of the time, which is what we model our approach after. So number one, Skip, do you like being treated respectfully or disrespectfully?
Definitely respectfully. It's one of my basic needs, I think.
So you like to be treated with respect. Good.
Yeah.
All right. So number two, do you like to be asked or told what to do?
I like to be asked.
You like to be asked. Good. Okay, number three, do you like to be given choices, or would you rather be threatened?
I'd rather be given choices.
Perfect. Okay, so would you rather, if someone is asking you to do something, would you rather know the reason why you're being asked to do it, or would you rather be left in the dark for the sky and just do it because I told you to do it?
I want to know why.
A reason or no reason?
Yeah, I'm not going to do it without a reason.
Right, so we want a reason. And then what about, let's say somewhere along the line, somebody screwed up somewhere. Do you like to be given a second chance?
Absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely. So those very simple questions is really what the approach is based upon. because no matter who I talk to and where I go, even outside of the country, people from different cultural backgrounds, everyone's answer is the same. They like to be treated with respect. They like to be asked, not told. They like to be given a reason why they're doing what they're doing. They like to be given choices rather than threats. They like to be given a second chance if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that is the foundational element of how do I start to persuade people to do what I need them to do. And before even that, you got to make sure that what you're asking is most good, least harm for everybody. If it's really weighted towards most good for you, but you don't care about anybody else, it's going to be increasingly more difficult to persuade someone to do what you need them to do.
Mm-hmm.
So the big thing is that you have to be in baseline to do that, meaning you can't be part of the problem. You have to have your emotions under control so your tone can be right and your body language can be right. And not just what you're saying, but how you're saying it is so important. So working on your tone and your facial expressions and all this. And then are you clearly communicating boundaries that are most good, least harm? And then finally, what are you going to do if those boundaries are not respected? What's your plan B?
Mm.
You know, what are you going to do if I ask you to move your car? You know, so I'm getting out of work one day and you're parked in front of my car, and I get out and I'm like, hey, dude, I'm parked right there. Is there a reason why you're parking there? Oh, I'm in a hurry. I just got to, you know, get off here a minute. I'll be back. Well, I gotta leave. I gotta move my car and you're in front of me. You know, what are you going to do when he doesn't want to move? And there's a whole continuum that follows that quiz that I just shared with you that helps, A, motivate people, persuade people to do what you want, and B, if you're being unreasonable, I'm going to know it very soon because there's only so much dancing you can do.
Right.
And then what are you going to do? You know, then what am I going to do? Am I just going to walk away? Am I going to take out my sidearm? Am I going to call the cops? Am I going to ram his car? Am I going to try to, you know, talk to him further? But from a tactical communication standpoint, I know my choices a lot more clearly and a lot sooner than just a general conversation.
Yeah.
Because most people don't know how to speak and communicate tactically. They know how to have a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it sounds like you take a holistic approach to conflict management. And that sounds pretty good to me. Greg, we are out of time now. But before we let you go, tell people where they can go to learn more about Peace Walker, maybe how they can get you to come to their group or their organization and do some training with them.
Well, we are just launching our new website. It's a training website. You can get in contact with me on it as well. It's peacewalker.net.
Peacewalker.net. All right. Hey, that's simple. We can do that. All right. Craig, once again, thank you very much for being on the Home Defense Show. We appreciate everything that you do.
Thank you, Skip. I appreciate it, man.
All right. Okay, folks, this is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. We got about 2 minutes here. Go out, check out our sponsors, Firearms Legal Protection and also Elite Firearms and Training. And then check out peacewalker.net. When we come back, I will tell you what I really think about Craig Gray and all this Peace Walker stuff. All right, this is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Front Lines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show, One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. That was a fine last two segments there with Craig Gray. But before we get into that, let's do a little bit of housekeeping here. For my friends in Michigan, I want you to understand the legislative process. Now, I know some people will read an article or they'll hear a news report and it'll say, okay, the Senate just voted and passed Senate Bill 584, which would enable you to get an extra 8 hours of training and get an enhanced CPL. Just because someone's been passed by the House or passed by the Senate, that doesn't mean it's a law yet. It's still a bill. I ran across people with constitutional carry, permitless carry, that was passed by the House months ago, and so people started carrying their guns because they thought it was a law, because their friend told them that it was so. It has to go through the whole legislative process. The bill has to be passed by the House, it has to be passed by the Senate, and it has to be signed into law by the governor. So, no, Senate Bill 584 has not been signed into law yet. My sources say possibly right after the first of year, it might move through the House and get to the governor's desk, but we still have no guarantee that he'll sign it. We really don't know what the governor is going to do, and I think that's probably why it hasn't moved yet. Okay, before we get into Craig Gray and de-escalation of force, let me play you another movie clip here, and you tell me if you think you know where this one comes from.
I want you to remember that it's a job. It's nothing personal.
Uh-huh. Being called a cocksucker and personal?
No. It's two nouns combined to elicit a prescribed response.
I wonder if somebody calls my mama a whore.
Is she? I want you to be nice until it's time to not be nice.
Well, how are we supposed to know when that is?
You won't. I'll let you know. You are the bouncers, I am the cooler. All you have to do is watch my back and each other's. Take out the trash.
Well, if you guessed Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze, then you were correct. I love that little conversation there. He is the cooler, they are the bouncer. And they just watch to him. But how does that help you and I? See, when we're out and about, when we're walking down the sidewalk, when we're driving our car, when we're at the office, when we're out in public, we don't have a cooler with us that we can look to, and he'll tell us when it's time to not be nice. And in context, for us concealed carry holders, what does it mean to not be nice? Well, for us gun owners, for those of us carrying concealed to protect ourselves and our family, I think that means use of deadly force. When is it time to not be nice? Now, Craig made some really good points there. He was talking about a person's capabilities. The more training they have in de-escalation, the more confident they are, the better trained they are in open-hand defense, whether it's jiu-jitsu or Krav Maga or whatever. The more quiet you can be, the more you can hold back, the more calm you can be. He talked about that baseline, emotional baseline. You know, if you can keep your head while everyone else in the room is losing theirs, then you'll be the tallest person in the room, won't you? You'll be the most calm, the most collected. You'll be thinking clearly. You'll make better decisions. You're less likely to do something stupid that would escalate the use of force rather than de-escalate the use of force. So I would encourage you to get some type of open-handed training so that you have that quiet confidence, so that you know that, yeah, whatever happens, I know how to take out the trash. So I can hold back a little bit longer than someone who doesn't have those skills. Now, that doesn't mean you put yourself in situations where you'll have to use those skills. No, it means the opposite. As a concealed carry holder, as a protector and a defender, as a peace walker, you avoid altercations at all cost. I will go to extreme lengths to avoid use of deadly force, even verbal arguments. If I bump into someone on the sidewalk on accident and they turn around and call me a dirty, rotten SOB, then say, hey, I'm sorry, my fault. It was an accident. And then I move on. It's not worth dying for. It's not even worth fighting for. When you strap on that firearm, your ego has to be checked at the door. Leave it home. The ego will not serve you. Anger will not serve you. Stay calm, stay collected, and be nice. Be nice to everyone you meet until it's time to not be nice. Now, a few cautions on that movie. This is not a G-rated movie. I think it's R-rated. It's got some explicit scenes in it, a lot of violence. There's that one scene at the end where Patrick Swayze is fighting the bad guy and he grabs the guy's throat and he rips his throat out with his bare hands. I don't even think you can do that, you know, not without Photoshop or some type of trick photography. But hey, it looked real in the movie. Okay, man. Now I'm going to speak directly to you. I know there's some women out there in the audience. Not all protectors are men. I understand that. But when it comes to Christmas, it's usually us men who get ourselves in trouble when we're buying presents for our wives. We screw up. We screw up every year. It's like we buy them what we think they need instead of what they really want. Now, I'm telling you, men, don't do that. Don't think like a man when you're buying Christmas presents for your wives. Think like a wife. How do you do that? I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out. But I think this year, I actually did it. I did it right. I know I did it right because I went ahead and I told her what I got her this year because I have to give it to her on Sunday night. Listen to your wife. Listen to your wife and she'll tell you what she wants. She'll tell you what's important to her and then you just go out and buy it or something related to it. With Sarah, she loves certain musicians and I listen to the music that she listens to and I know she loves Amy Grant. And she loves Michael W. Smith. Lo and behold, both of them are going to be putting on a Christmas concert this Sunday at Van Andel Arena. So I went ahead, I bought the tickets, and I'll be taking her there, and she's very excited about it. But men, I gotta tell you, this was a true test of love for me. Because as you know, I do not go to pistol-free zones. I don't like being there. I don't feel comfortable there. I'm disarmed. I just flat out don't like it. Not just because I'm not safe there, but because I can't protect my wife and my kids there as well. And I don't like giving money to people who are taking away my basic civil rights. But, hey, I had to make a decision. Do I go ahead and take my wife to this pistol-free zone, you know, a criminal empowerment zone, if it's going to make her happy? Well, I decided to go ahead and do that. And I am going to do that. And I will go ahead and I will disarm myself. I called up Van Andel Arena, and they called me back. And they explained to me that even though I have an exempt CPL, meaning I can legally carry in the pistol-free zones, that the only people they allow inside their facility are on-duty police officers. And so I explained to him that I had an exempt CPL, and that didn't seem to move the man very much. He said the only way we'll let you in there with your gun is if you go up to the office, because when you try and go through the magnetometer, they'll see your gun, and the security guards will escort you to the office, and then they'll make a copy of your CPL, your exempt CPL, and your police ID. They'll keep it on record, and then they'll also record where your seats are. And he said that was so that if there's some type of altercation, the security staff and the police will know where you are. I have no idea what that means, but that's their policy. Now, I'm not sure how that flies in the face of the MGO Michigan Open Carry lawsuit, where they were sued for denying people their right to keep and bear arms. The activist part of me wants to just go there, make a big scene, record it, and then let the legal chips fall where they may. The problem is, that would ruin my wife's Christmas present. And I want her to enjoy herself. So if I'm going to do this, I have to remember, okay, Skip, you're a husband first. You love your wife. And that comes before Second Amendment activism. I know some of you will judge me for that. Hey, do what you got to do. My wife is going to love this. I'm excited about it. I know she is too. What did you get your wife for Christmas? Make it good. Make it good. Wives, what did you get your husband? Make it really good. Make it gun-related. You can't go wrong with guns and gun accessories. You just can't. There's no such thing as too many guns. Well, next week on the Home Defense Show, we're going to have some more good stuff. We'll be talking about another Christmas movie. I won't tell you which one it is, but oh man, it's in my top five. You're going to love it. I'll have more movie clips for you. We'll be dealing with home, personal, family defense related stuff that you just can't get anywhere else. And you'll get it through the lens of my personality, which is really, really bizarre. Well, okay. Folks, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Don't forget to go to our sponsors, Firearms Legal Protection, firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical, and then elitefirearms.us. Pick up that gun for your spouse. Next week, we'll be back. Until then, remember, your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember, God, family, country, in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coriel. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
Thank you for joining us this week on The Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!